Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. We have a new friend with us, ladies and gentlemen. John Spisak is here. John is the president of Solar Rover, which is a mobile solar power generating company. He's going to have to tell us about what a mobile solar power generation unit is. We'll have to talk about that in a minute. But he's a technology expert. He's an energy expert. He's got education and professional background in those areas, and he's here to talk to us about something that I think you and I need to focus on, and that's the behavior of the Environmental Protection Agency, an agency that you and I that's part of our government that's supposed to be working for you and me, and they may not be. John Spisak, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Tell us why you're a little extra indignant these days, maybe more than you ordinarily are, about the behavior of the EPA with regard to one of its own people.
Well, you know, my background, 38 plus years in business, is scientific, and my training is scientific, and I'm used to dealing in facts, and I'm used to dealing with facts. If they are indeed the facts, then you should accept them and work within their framework. And what we have is an agency that has become so politicized that any renowned scientist or someone who's spent their life dealing in facts, if they produce a report that goes counter to the political thinking, then they're quashed. And this is a particularly egregious case. Alan Carlin's a 38-year veteran of the agency. Actually, he's been around since the inception of the agency, and he's no slouch. He's got degrees from both MIT and Caltech. He's been part of the climate change team at EPA, and he's done an extensive amount of work and research studying this whole climate change issue, and he's published a scholarly report within the agency that has been peer-reviewed. And what's important to understand
Tell us what the importance of the term peer review.
Well, that's where I was just going to explain
okay.
that.
Okay.
A peer-reviewed report is a report that you send to other renowned scientists, and they take a very critical look at the work you've done. They look at the references, they look at the research that you've cited, and they basically pass judgment on whether or not it's a scholarly report and should be listened to. And
in the marketplace, we would call that doing the due diligence on your report. They tear it apart and see where the holes are.
Exactly. That is correct. And because he concluded that there is not sufficient scientific data to justify this massive attack on carbon fuels through cap and trade, and massive changing policy by the United States, which is going to severely impact our economy,
mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't conform to the political thinking of this administration, the agency has quashed the report. They've told him in emails and in a directive that they will not circulate it within the agency. It will
wow.
not be made public. In fact, he's been pulled off the climate change task force.
After
probably
all these years.
One of the most distinguished members of that task
one,
force.
One of the founders of the group has now been pulled off.
Yes. And that is the situation we're facing, all because the facts and the science don't conform to the politics.
You know, now Carol Browner is not the EPA. She is the energy czar, isn't she?
Yes, that's correct.
So she's not the head of the EPA, as she was with the Clinton administration, correct?
Yes.
And when she was a member of the Clinton administration, she tried to get, as the head of the EPA, she tried, if I remember correctly, John, help me out here with my memory, she tried to make carbon dioxide a dangerous gas. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's been rattling around Washington for nearly two decades.
I reported on that, though, back in 99. 2000, and there were some reports on that. I'm trying to remember what was the deal? Are you saying that that wasn't the case?
No, they have been trying to attack carbon dioxide, like I said, for nearly 20 years, which is extremely ironic because carbon dioxide is a critical component of the Earth's atmospheric engine.
Well, it's half of the photosynthesis process.
Yes, and you and I exhale carbon dioxide every day. So are they going to throw us in jail if we have a particularly busy day?
Right, exactly. So this guy, his name is Alan Carlin.
That's correct.
Has got a report, is he being ostracized within? Is he still got a job? Is he being ostracized? Is he being blackballed? How are they treating him?
Well, he's being silenced, and effectively he's being threatened. His job, his income, his pension.
So there is no debate then. There's only in terms of the carbon issue that we have going on right now. They don't really want a debate, do they?
No. And what's even worse about this particular incident is the fact that the statute requires that scholarly work done by researchers within the agency that goes counter to the public policy that they are trying to push on the American people must be vetted. It must be made public so that people can make an informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they are ignoring the law, and they're locking this report up.
Hmm. So you actually stating that you think that they're violating a law by not releasing his report?
They are, and that's not
my
opinion.
Will they be taken to court over this?
I would hope that someone, that someone in Congress demands an investigation, and pushes this into the light of day.
The folks, the cap and trade, the most notably known as the Markey. Now, what's the first name? Waxman Markey. The
Waxman
Markey
right.
bill, is. Is the bill that wants to basically take the put the baseline of carbon emissions? What is it, around the 1990 levels? Is that it, John?
I think it's the 1990 levels,
which is kind of the Kyoto protocol.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
But 1990 levels, folks, they want to make that the base, basically, and anything above that, you and I have to pay for. Extra for, and so. That's the cap and trade. They want to cap it at a certain level. And then if you want to use more than that, than you're allotted, then you have to buy those. And if I have, and you'll be given a certain number of carbon credits. But if you need more, you have to buy them from people who don't need them. And so they make a market. Only the government owns the commodity that now would be carbon. Stand by. Quick break, 20 after. We're going to talk a lot about this a little bit more with John Spezak. Stay with us. I want to be with you everywhere. Nowhere else more than on a talk show is time tight. That's a little Booker T and the MGs there. Time is Tight is the name of that song. Great, classic, instrumental. Welcome back to 23 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there you can do to help you with your business, to help you survive and thrive 2009 and get ready for 2010. You can check out my blog. You can listen to interviews, past interviews that we've done. Read articles. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. John Spezak is our guest, folks. Spisak is how you spell his name. He's the president of Solar Rover. John, I got to know what a mobile solar power generation unit is.
Well, think of a diesel generator that you would use at a remote site or after a storm or something like that. And very simply, this is a solar analog. It's clean, absolutely no carbon emissions.
Is this like what powers the road signs out in the middle of nowhere?
Well, those aren't mobile. They're affixed to the road sign with a small battery. But we produce fully mobile units with a full set of batteries and solar panels, and you can take them to a concert or take them to a place that's been hit after a hurricane, and instead of running a diesel with the noise and the pollution, You get pure, clean, quiet solar
power.
Wow.
And how, I mean, how much power can you, I mean, how does it compare to a diesel unit?
Well, the interesting thing is a diesel unit only generates power when it's running. We have a huge bank of batteries, so we can store anywhere from 35 to 80 kilowatt hours of power in the battery bank.
Wow.
So,
and how much sun do you have to have?
Power. Pardon me?
How much sun do you have to have?
Well, obviously it's going to work better in the southern latitudes, but it's
right.
also going to work better in the areas where it's more needed, like in the hurricane belt and the earthquake
right.
zones in Southern
right.
California.
Now, these are production units out ready to be sold right now?
Yes, we build them to order
okay.
because some people will put a communications on there so you can get internet or telephone if you require or water.
Is this something I'd use for my home?
You wouldn't use it for your home because it's mobile and because of all the battery storage.
Yeah.
It's more cost effective to put a system on your roof.
Right.
But for instance, if you're a small business or that has perishable or sensitive goods, and you're in the hurricane belt and you face the prospect of losing power for several days, like a corner pharmacy that may have $50,000 or $100,000 worth of pharmaceuticals in the refrigerator and you don't want to lose them, it's ideal for that.
So even though, see, this is interesting, that even though you're in the alternative fuels business, you've obviously made a significant investment in this, you got a going concern and a product to sell that is contrary to carbon, you'd be better off if carbon became highly taxed. I mean, your business would be better. Even with all that, you still believe that the carbon, the cap and trade direction is the wrong direction.
But you know that what you say is not true. I don't believe that cap and trade is the right direction for a business like mine, because my units are built with standard commodities: steel, copper wiring, rubber tires, silicon wafers, aluminum framework, and the price of those commodities is going to go through the roof.
And see, that's the part. The cause and effect is the part that politicians don't get, do they?
They don't have a.
They only see the surface tension, don't they? They don't see the depths of the issue that they don't realize that for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. They don't understand cause and effect when they debate these things and when they pass these laws, do they?
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. By the way, give us the website. I want people to know how they can find you.
It's www.solaroverr.com.
Okay. Check that out, folks. And mostly for businesses, though, right?
Mostly for businesses and commercial, you bet.
Yeah, and the bill. Okay, we're talking about the EPA's decision to suppress Alan Carlin's report, which is contrary to the prevailing, the politically correct direction that the Obama administration, at least, wants to push in. The big argument that I've been trying to make, John, is that even if the United States accomplished everything that they wanted to accomplish, the administration and many in Congress want to accomplish with regard to carbon emissions, I believe that that's going to push production to the inefficient carbon users, India and China, and could actually hurt our environment. What do you think?
It's absolutely correct. And in fact, 2 weeks ago, right around the time of the G8 summit, the Wall Street Journal published an article that for the first time, China has passed the United States in total CO2 emissions.
Yeah, yeah. And they're one-fifth of our economy.
And if you recall from the G8, the Chinese premier didn't even attend the climate change
meeting. He left early,
that
right.
was chaired by President
yep.
Obama. And last week, Hillary Clinton was strongly rebuked by the government of India. And basically, both of the largest growing industrial economies in the world have told the United States they absolutely will not follow our climate change lead. And in fact, they're going to continue to industrialize at a breakneck pace.
Right.
And they're going to continue to put more CO2 into the atmosphere than we're going to reduce and severely damage our economy. So you know where the jobs are going to go.
That's exactly right. And that's the reason why, and this is going to hurt small businesses, John. That's the reason why I'm opposed to it and why I talk about these things. And I appreciate your time. Thank you for doing the good work that you're doing. And keep up the good work. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you very much.
John Spezak, ladies and gentlemen. SolaRover.com is the website. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame.
That's all I've ever for mercy.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.